property investor in the UK, in Dubai, focusing on mergers and acquisitions, recently acquiring a hotel. Welcome to the podcast, Adam Rana.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on board.
Thank you
so
much.
In Dubai, in the heat.
I know. Thank you so much. I know, bear in mind that it's not the coolest time here. So I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
For those who don't know you, I mean, it's hard not to. You're all over social media. You're really out there getting your presence known. But for those who've never come across you before, what I always like to ask my guests to begin with is, who are you now? Like, if someone said to you, who are you now and what do you do? Tell us now before we go back. So,
yeah, I'll keep my intro short. So I've done quite a few of these. So my name's Adam Rana. I'm from the UK. I've been in property since the early days, since you were a trainer and or whatnot from your career. So I've been in property about seven years maybe. Bought my first property about 7-8 years ago. So, and then I'm currently in acquiring businesses and growing my property portfolio as well as acquiring businesses. So we just acquired recently a real estate agency in Dubai, hence why I'm based here, hence you can find me here.
Yep.
We also got a massive SA business, service accommodation, which people know back in UK. Holiday Homes Rental is called in Dubai. We have an office here and we have an office in the UK for service accommodation. We have over 120 units. Units in the UK and here.
Massive growth in a really short space of time.
Yes, yeah.
And continuing to grow.
Yeah.
So what I find really interesting is that many people who say, oh, you know, I've got no money, I can't get, it's all right for you. They'll look at your social media profiles. Yeah. They see you smartly dressed, driving certain cars, undertaking certain experiences. And that there's always two schools of thought, you know, I want to be like him or who does he think he is?
Yeah.
We're going to touch upon both of those because I love the psychology behind it all. But there will be people who think, well, it's all right for Adam. Mm-hmm. But for those people, I think it's really important for them to know and understand that how you started your property business in the UK, very different to starting a business here in Dubai. Mm-hmm. But in the UK, you started with very little, a really small sum of money.
Yeah. I started with actually, we were on a training, induction training for new starters. And I mentioned my past. I started with $2,000. Actually, I started with service accommodation. That's one of my massive main cash flow business in the UK. So people know me for SA in Birmingham, in Liverpool and in Glasgow. So that's where we have our units. I started with a rent-to-rent on $2,000, $2,000 and scaled it from there into property management and into massive scale of working with developers. So we're exclusive working with one of the biggest developers in the UK, taking on blocks and floors, and that's how we scale. So starting with nothing actually, so like everyone starts at zero. You don't need much money to get started. Sometimes you just need the drive and you need to take risk. I've taken a massive risk being here in Dubai as well. So we'll touch on that later. But yeah, you don't need much. You need a drive and you need the right people around you.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I think that's really important for people to know. I similarly started with nothing. I was on maternity leave when I first started looking at getting invested in property. I had no funds to do it, but you will still always have the doubters who say, but I'm a firm believer that when you start with nothing, you've got no choice but to make it work. So I want to touch upon where you were saying drive and people around you, because do you believe that there are certain attributes that make people successful?
100%. I think discipline and consistency, what made me successful. Give you an example, the people I'm staying with in my apartment right now, combined between us, we have a high net worth. The reason we stay together all the time is because every time, even after this podcast, when I go home tonight, it's going to be great conversations. I'm going to stay motivated and still have my fun. So we are going to a fancy restaurant down in Jumeirah in Dubai. So the conversations while having dinner and having fun are great. And then that drives you and makes you be successful in your day to day and months to come and weeks to come.
So do you believe then that you, because I'm of a generation and I'm of a mindset of there has to be hard work. One thing that, you know, sets me aside from many of the property trainers in the UK is that I'll stand on a stage and say, if you think this is going to be easy, it's not.
Yeah.
It's very simple. The premise of it is really simple. The process is really simple. Go out and, you know, rent a property from someone, buy a property from someone and rent it out. But it's really hard work. But I also believe that there needs to be a balance in life. So for those people, like, you are working really hard, but you also have work hard, play hard. Is that a bit of an ethic that you have?
I do. So there's two things, right? So I'll tell you I don't believe in work-life balance, and that's just me. My work-life balance, what keeps me happy is this. So I'm going to have a meeting this evening over dinner, but that's my fun. And yep. a lot of people love to swap my life and have be here 8 o'clock in the heat and have fun, but still talking business. And it's big business we're talking, 8 p.m. tonight. So I think for me personally, that if you're going to have to sacrifice something, if you have a family, you're going to may struggle with growing such a successful business that we've grown. Or if you just grow such a big business like I have, I've not got no kids at the moment. So, you know, I may have sacrificed on that for now. So you're always going to have that. You never find, from my experience and from the people that I know, you're not able to ever be able to find that experience if you don't excel really high on one end. So whether it's a family or whether it's fun or whether it's business.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think it's all about perspective because the terminology that I use is I don't think that I've made lots of sacrifices, but I have made big investments. My children were 1 and 3, almost 4 when I first started investing. Yeah. And because it is hard work, you know, it's time away from home for you. It's travel. It's, you know, big risks. And we're going to talk about that as well. I'm not a gambler in the sense of no risk, no reward, you know, shit or bust, make it work. But I do believe that you've got to take educated, calculated risks. Because if it was easy, everybody would be doing
it.
So I love that. And that, you know, I do believe that there's a certain type of work ethic that you have to have to reach success. I'm gonna put a pin in that because what I want to ask you is, what does success mean to you? Because those people who are following you on Instagram right now will see luxury cars, days out at the Formula One. They're going to see, you know, doing deals in a private jet, the high-end living lifestyle that many people aspire to, and you've done it at such a young age.
Yeah.
Is that success to you?
Partly, not going to lie. Partly, money is important. Having fun is important. So my background is engineering in cars and automotive. So I'm a mechanical engineer by trade, actually. So worked in Jaguar Land Rover previously. So I've always been in cars, in engineering. So having a nice car is important. I wake up every day and when I go to office or wherever I go, I enjoy driving a V8 engine or a fast engine. It just drives me. In the morning when you're having a tired morning and whatnot, it's like playing sports for me. So for me, that is, yeah. However, for me, the biggest thing is freedom. I know it's a buzzword out there, freedom and whatnot. Freedom is important. I've only realized this over the last year or two, that freedom is like right now, I can catch a flight tomorrow morning back to London.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Right in London, I'm due to actually fly back.
Yeah.
I might be staying in Dubai for a few more days.
I don't watch news, so someone just told me on the way, actually, on a phone call.
Yeah, I got a text message just saying, are you actually coming home? And I was like, why, what happened? Yeah. That in itself, I think that is a commonality. I've been privileged to interview many successful people from all walks of life, all different niches and markets. And that's one thing that I always notice is, nobody reads the news. No one gets focused or bogged down by mainstream media because, let's be honest, it's all a load of bullshit. Yeah. Do you do that to protect yourself?
Yeah, I do. It's just negativity a lot of time, right? You get negative, mostly it's negative news. I do like to keep up with economics and stuff. So I'm into like economics and like, you know, when we're buying businesses and whatnot, we need to keep up with all the what's happening in the markets and whatnot. So we do, I don't watch news, but I do hear it from people or social media. You watch someone's stories. It's everyone's Instagram story today. Literally about half an hour ago, I find out. So my point was about freedom. I think people need to understand what their end goal is or what the journey is rather, not just the end goal. My journey is, I traveled a lot, by the way, previously. So people who followed me for years and know I used to travel. And then when I got into business.
Through the job.
Through the job mainly. And then I would take out, because I had freedom through my job, the type of job I did. I was a consultant, so I could take out a lot of time off. And then take away like 4 weeks in Thailand or 3 weeks in Philippines or Bali. So I did stuff like that. And then now working in a business, having the I say small amount of success for me, I'm looking for bigger goals. Having that money allows you to have that freedom. And money is very important. And again, it's personal views. Money is so important. Otherwise, no one would be working a job if money wasn't important. And that allows you to have that freedom. I'm truly grateful. Sometimes I do slow down and think, enjoy the freedom. And that doesn't mean, you know, I don't go on the beaches a lot and I'm not like that. We were just talking with my friend earlier. We haven't been to a pool, swimming pool for a long time because for freedom for me is, you know, fly out to a different country to do a deal, enjoy that, meeting people. It's a big thing for me. I'm a massive networker. I'm a serial networker. So that's a key to success. I 100% say that. Like, I've got meetings lined up already before I've come to Dubai because it's networking. Some of them I've not met before. So, but these people potentially do a deal with me, not just real estate, but in business buying and whatnot.
I absolutely love that. And we're singing from the same hymn sheet. I am a massive believer in freedom. And I love that freedom to you is choice and the ability to jump on a plane or to say yes or to say no to things. Have you always had the drive that you have right now? Because for those people who don't know, you know, what I want to know the motivators for that, for those people who don't already know those motivators inside you.
Honestly, I've always had the discipline. That's what I don't believe in motivation. So, you know, doing things every day, you can't, motivation is very temporary. Again, it's a very cliche. What I learned is like going to the gym. So every day I do the same thing. So we're doing inductions, we're doing training for our real estate company. It's every day. It's like motivating, driving other people. I'm in sales, for example. So driving other people to learn the sales techniques and tricks. I work with discipline every single day. I turn up where I need to turn up and I get things done. So motivation is very temporary. I've had the drive because I had the long goal. So I have a clear vision. You got to have clear vision, I think. Again, it's like all of these things are easier said than done because that's why not everyone can be successful. I'm all about telling the truth on these podcasts.
Fabulous.
So I tell you a story, just digressing from here. I've seen you on that property training stage. We talked about it earlier on the message. I've seen you 5 years ago, or is it 4 years ago, I had one property then. I can guarantee you, with all respect, 98% of the people are not doing what they came there to do.
Couldn't agree more.
I don't know anyone that was in that room is still doing that. I still remember that day. Oh,
see, I'd challenge you on that one. I do believe, and I love the honesty around it. Everyone, I stand on a stage and one of the key things that I say is that everyone in this room has a drive and a determination to do it, but will leave most of you by the end of the weekend.
Exactly. So consistency, what catches people out.
Exactly that. Or they fully intend to do it and then they go home and life gets in the way.
Yeah, that's a good way to look
and
at it.
And life might be one person going, oh, isn't it a bit risky? And that one piece of information, whereas someone who is disciplined, who is, you know, sees the end goal. And I think you do have to, I always talk about reverse engineering, starting with the end in mind, even if you don't yet know what the end is, because those flagpoles in the sand will continue to move. Because I'm sure for you, 5 years ago, getting property number one was the first goal.
Exactly, yeah.
But what then? And it's about continually moving in the flagpole in the sand. You've had massive growth in a really short space of time. I do agree that networking is absolutely key. It's not even necessarily who you know, it's who knows you. Hence the reason you're doing podcasts and getting yourself out there. And, you know, for anyone who's watching Adam's social media, you will know that he is doing big things in Dubai right now. You know, you've only recently moved here. How long have you been here now?
Just after COVID,
Just after COVID. So not a huge amount of time, but acquired a massive real estate business. And we were talking before we hit record of people coming, not just from the UK, but from all over the world to take roles within that. Why do you think real estate, I'm using that term purposely because it's not property in Dubai. Is it so huge right now? And do you think we are, you know, anywhere near the height of what it's going to achieve?
In Dubai, Dubai is the greatest market right now. If you compare this to London or New York, Dubai has had the biggest growth because of many reasons. So a lot of expats, immigration. So a lot of people migrating to Dubai because of many economic reasons and many world events that are happening. Example, Russia, Ukraine. We've had a massive growth of population in Dubai. Hence, the growth in the real estate market, hence the growth in real estate business owners. So I've seen, I think there's this number out there, 225% growth in some of the areas in Dubai since the pandemic. So because of that reason, because of the population growth, there is demand for it and there's demand for growth. It's actually under supply at the moment for a lot of people to buy. So that's why it's one of the greatest places to invest right now. I'm investing. I know a lot of people who've been in the market in the UK for 10 to 15 years, they're moving their money here. So that's the reason, basically, the great population growth, more confidence in the market in Dubai, because, you know, people are moving in families here now. So kids are going to school, you're making this a base, whereas in 2006, five to seven, before the last recession, there was more temporary people. So that has an impact in the economics of the market. So yeah, we're only going to see massive growth. Also, the vision of Dubai is great. They're looking to double the population in 15 years. So yeah, there's many reasons, many factors that people can look up. But yeah, that's why we're in the real estate market.
I love how excited you are by this.
I'm so excited because I've just come from, I was just telling you before we recorded. So we are a real estate company in Dubai, a luxury real estate company. We're hiring aggressively at the moment for luxury real estate partners, agents, who are moving from either UK mostly, about seven were on the induction this week there from Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, London, and they're moving their lives here for this opportunity to take a piece of the pie, which we're helping as a company to provide them. So yeah, it's a great opportunity. I'm so excited because like I saw firsthand today, this guy flew in on Saturday, said, yeah, I moved everything, shut everything down in UK. He's 22 years old. I said, mate, if I was 22, I would have probably done the same thing because the amount of commission you can make here, like you're talking life-changing money.
Absolutely is. And I love that what you've done is replicate it, what you've done in the UK, different opportunities. You know, in the UK, setting up a business is very simple in terms of property. Yeah. You and I both know that sitting in those rooms, there'll be a big proportion of people who have every intention of doing it. Some will go out there and do it. Some will do it super successfully and some will kind of sit on the sidelines. Is that the same here? Yes, people are up in sticks and leaving. You know, they're jumping on an Emirates flight with no, you know, an open ticket or a one-way ticket. But the world of property and real estate in Dubai is quite brutal.
Yeah.
You know, sales, commission only.
Commission only.
What about those who don't make it? Is there a big risk for those people? And would you recommend they still try it?
Yeah, 200% recommend they still try because the way our company, the director of leadership in our company, including me, it's a winning game. We're playing a winning game here. Yes, you're going to lose some, but we're here to win. And today we had a sales training. So one of the things that we say is, guys, you got to give it all. Like this is sales, you know, in the UK, you don't have the sales mindset as strong as here. Yes, some people may not agree. And the reason Dubai is successful over UK recently is because people are hungry. And if you're not hungry, you're going to stay in your comfort zone. I don't have a choice other than making this company work. Since we acquired this company, like the amount of investment we're putting, the amount of investment that goes into marketing, like Property Finder, Bayou, like they have to charge a lot of money to market your listings. So if the brokers are coming in, we've got to supply the rent for the office. We got to pay the rent for the office. We got to pay all the subscription for all these big portals. You know, that's why we're supporting them and we're supporting them so they can make money and we can make money together and help our clients. The main important thing is helping the clients yourself buy a property here with the best price and with the best knowledge. So I'm hiring experts or making them experts within the company from the knowledge we have or the external trainers that we're bringing in. So it's very, very, I'm not going to say it's unlikely to fail, but we're going to reduce as much as risk as possible to make sure the agents are moving and lives, they're not going to fail.
I am a firm believer in supporting people in that way. I was never in sales previously. And then when I moved into sales, I realized just how such an important trait it is, not just for your business, but for everywhere in life. How are you going to be the person who stands out in a networking event if you're not able to sell what you do? How are you ever going to, you know, find a life partner if you can't sell yourself as the best person to go on a date? So I am fully encouraging the teaching people the skill set of sales. I do think that there are people who won't make it. And I think quite often the most honest thing you can do is to be brutal right at the start and tell those people. What I'd love for those people watching at home, those people who are listening to the podcast to know is, how does someone who, you know, comes from relative humble beginnings, you actually moved to the UK aged
14.
So aged 14, moved to the UK, got a fabulous education, got a fabulous job, but, you know, from that, basically put a pin in it. I'm a firm believer in what Adam did is the right way to do it, by the way, because you didn't just, and it scares the life out of me when people go to a property training event one day and go, right, that's it, I'm leaving the job. You've done it alongside. Mm-hmm. So you built up a property business. But as you say, 5-6 years ago, there you were at a training event with zero properties. How on earth do you go from having zero properties? Have you replicated it in Dubai? Because it's not as easy to set up. I mean, it's relatively simple, but it's not as easy as it is in the UK to set up a business. How have you infiltrated the real estate market, which is huge here in Dubai, and got to the level that you have in such a short space of time?
I can say this in words. So consistency and discipline, that's same thing. So important. But if I was to break that down, it's taking steps. So getting on that plane, honestly, since I think it was just after the third, fourth lockdown, I can't remember how many lockdowns there were.
Too bloody many.
One of the lockdowns, I ended up moving here because our service accommodation market wasn't great. Hotels were closed, as you know. We weren't allowed to rent our apartments out nightly or weekly or monthly. What I decided to do, these are the steps people have to take, whatever industry you're in. So we're in the property world. You gotta start thinking of diversification. So for me, I am very driven, and it's not just happened overnight. Because I just thought, if I'm on this earth, I've got to make something happen. As a man, I wanna achieve something, whether it's like, you know, money, whether it's success, whether it's getting to a certain goal, because goals always keep changing as well. Before it was for me a six figure, right? And now we're talking 7 to 8 figures, 100 million exit. So we're going to touch on the M&A side of mergers and acquisition. We want to exit at 50 to 100 million in about 7 years. So, you know, to get to there, I need to take steps, which are either diversification into a different country, which was the thing you're talking about. We came here. What I did, honestly, if I was to tell you the truth, I didn't know anyone here who was in business.
That's my next question. Actually, How do you build that network here when you're brand new?
I tell you, I did social media. So if I saw someone, you know, say if I see you, you're in Dubai, I'll try and connect with you, go for a coffee. You know someone else. And then someone else, I would, there's a saying, tell people what you do or what you want to do. And if you tell them, so setting up a company, honestly, people now come to me and ask me, oh, how do I set up a company here? Like, I actually couldn't ask anyone until I met this guy. He knew someone else. And he said, because it's not as easy to set up a company as it is in the UK, as you would know. And Google is your best friend, you know? So I did all of these. And it's funny how people don't even take these steps. And brutal as it sounds, it's so simple, but not everyone can do it. That's all I did. Yes, you need to raise some finance. By this time, I had some investors from the UK who believed in me. Yes, you got to build up your credibility and trust and then use that finance to set up the company and then copy and paste what I've done in the UK. So you don't reinvent the wheel. You copy and paste what someone else has done or you've done. Essentially, people who've been following me, your listeners, some of them probably have been following me for a while. I've not been around for 1 year or 2 years. It's about 7 years. Some of my followers have been following me for 6 years and they've seen that first property I had in Jewelry Quarter in Birmingham to Dubai Properties. And what? We just sold a property for 6 million dirhams. So, you know, that comes from taking action and meeting people.
I'm so glad you broke it down because it's really easy and for people to think, oh, it's consistency and discipline. Okay, I've
got
that. Yeah,
those are just buzzwords, yeah.
Yeah, but the breaking down of it, and that's why I'm really glad that you showcased in terms of the network. And so if we're to put this into actionable steps for people, I don't necessarily even mean if they just want to follow in your steps and, you know, move to Dubai, et cetera, but they just want to replicate building up a successful lifestyle. So it is discipline and it is consistency, but it's also who do you know and who can they put you in touch with? Because I think that is a big blocker for a lot of people. You touched upon raising finance. You've obviously been able to build a really big network of high net worth individuals, both here in Dubai and in the UK. Credibility, obviously, when you don't have your first property or when you don't have success in your business, if we're to transfer this from someone, you know, to another niche, how do you gain credibility?
Credibility is not easy, but I put myself in circles. For example, when I was getting into rent-to-rent or buying commercials, so we have some commercials, it's having people or, for example, you are in the training world, so having their support provides credibility. So recently we got into acquiring businesses. I'm around people who have acquired 2 businesses or 10 businesses or 7, 6. So I'm using their credibility, getting them as business partners or as support whilst I'm in these meetings. So I'm in some meetings. We recently put an offer in for a hotel for 3 million. The offer that we put in for that 3 million, I'll use a live example actually. Yeah. This is similar to property. 3 million pound hotel, profit margins of per year of 400K, you know, big stuff. You know, we're talking, talking 400K net profit every year. That's been running for 17 years. That guy is not just going to sell up to some, that guy's 64 years old, right? The man is 64 years old. First thing he will look at, I'm half his age. Right, where have I got experience? You know, okay, I've got some of his bit of experience, but he's asking how I'm going to go through all the legals, how I'm going to understand everything which is involved behind acquiring a successful running business, which has staff that's been there for 17 years. You know,
it's his baby, he wants you to look after it.
Yeah, so what I do is I use, say to you, you are an expert in hotels. I would say, I would like you to come along with a meeting with me, maybe give away some equity, you know, JV with them, and use the experience of an expert to sit in a meeting with you. Normally sit in a meeting with you or guide you.
Yeah.
If, you know, it depends on the circumstances to support you.
So it's all about leveraging other people, creating the win-win situations, because it's not just a case of, you know, oh, I need this from you, I need this. You talked about giving equity shares or doing joint ventures with people. So it's about creating those win-win situations. But that's now led to you being in the world of mergers and acquisitions. So tell us a little bit about, you know, firstly, was that an opportunity that was presented to you or did you go out and actively look for it?
For me, again, goes back to my drive. I want to do something really big. Ultimately, I started understanding money and wealth. Property, real estate is good. That's one stream of income for us. We want to build. So when you get to a certain level, from like 50 units to 100 units and 125 units in service accommodation and property, you start thinking like, you know, what's the bigger goal here? What's the bigger purpose? So for us, it's an exit. So we want to exit our companies that we built up alongside a group of companies that we purchase, yep, potentially. Not all, but we're looking for an exit, combining group over 7 to 10 years, maybe from now on. I'm only 34 years old. So say in 10 years, we'll look to an exit to say at 50 million or 100 million. Don't know the numbers yet, but these are the numbers when you have 8 to 7 hotels or engineering companies. We're looking into different industries. So my ultimate goal is creating a big group with a legacy and be able to exit. Building
it to sell.
Yeah, it's not very common in the UK, but in US, this is a big thing.
Huge in the US.
Yeah, so it's a US mentality, to be fair, which is probably a good mentality. You know, maybe 7 years later, I'm done. I've been in the hospitality industry for a while, and already I'm like, you know, what can I do something differently? So this gives me the creative side to build something differently, bring in different people into my different companies from different fields of different experience of life.
Continually building up that network. So, Adam, what next then? Because you've gone from, you know, one serviced accommodation unit to multiple businesses, to mergers and acquisitions, to looking at, you know, not just 6 but 7-figure acquisitions now. Yes, the intention is to build up the companies to sell, but it seems like you're always bringing new things in. You're always looking for the next big thing. So what's next?
Yeah, so I'm not actually, everything that I've done has had depth in it. So everything is done for a long time, or it's gets built up, not just a shiny penny.
You're not
thing.
Looking for the quick wins.
Yeah, so never look for the quick wins, and they're not going to work, guys. Eventually you will get bored, or you will get phased out of the market. That's what I say. So for example, I'll use a live example again. Service accommodation right now in UK, it's not as great. People don't like to talk about the bad stuff on Instagram, but the rates are not great. People are not spending as much money in some areas in the country for hotels or service accommodation because of the inflation and the bills going up. So a lot of people are leaving the service accommodation market, but that's creating a gap for people like me to excel and take over the share of the market. So if you're not in it for the long game, this is my 6th year in service accommodation. If I wasn't in for long game, I would have gave up in COVID.
Yeah.
So pandemic, a lot of people gave up. If you looked at my social, that was there's a post still on there which said I lost 30 grand in 2 months because there was a lockdown, and it was the first lockdown. We had 21 properties and we couldn't, they were all empty. So you can imagine what the rent was on 21 properties in Birmingham. And I was like, that's it. But the drive and the long goal that I had and the risk mindset I had, that kept me going.
How do you build up that resilience though? How does someone who, because there must have been some really dark times where you've thought, shit, I've got 21 properties. You've still got to pay all of those landlords if they're on a rent to rent. You've still got to pay the mortgages if they're purchased. No money coming in. You're hemorrhaging money. What kept you going? How do you deal with the dark times?
It's my emotions. I'm very, very controlled on my emotions. You never see me get angry. I'm always at peace. Emotions play a massive role in business. Mindset, you obviously know about this. Mindset links to emotions. Emotional control is the biggest factor in surviving times like this. So the worst can happen is I'll go bankrupt. That's the worst can happen when you lose money. You're not going to die. And yes, it's not over a podcast, not over one night. I've learned this. It's over training my mind from, I come from a management consultancy, engineering background. So, you know, look for solutions. What's the worst going to happen? And what's in your control? 3 things. And it's easy. People like, I would like your listeners to understand this. You can listen to these words now, but if you don't train yourself every time you go to bed or every time you're driving. So for me, my meditation is driving. I love driving. Like even now, I drove for 40 minutes from Marina to here. And I was going through some reflection of the day of the training that I was doing for the team. So people can understand emotional control drives your success rate. So I control my emotions very well. So when times are hard, like even today and the new starters we've got, it's a big thing. Like if you really put yourself in my shoes, it's like 8 people have moved from a different country. They actually believe in me.
Weight on your shoulders.
Yeah. And I have a kind heart and I want to take care of people. But I walked into the meeting and I said, I like work here every single day and I'm your boss. And only one guy stood up and goes, no, you're not. And, you know, I'm driving, making people realize it's that mindset of outworking someone else, not a race, but it's just like, I like to, as a man, I think I want to have that pressure. When I have a family, I can take on that pressure. When I have kids, they will understand that. So that's one of the things I do. I look to outwork and I look to, yes, I'm going to lose some cards. We all get dealt the same. Well, we all get not dealt the same cards. It's how you play the cards.
Yeah. I love that. And I think perspective is absolutely key, because yeah. one thing that people have learned is it doesn't matter, because you've been successful in everything that you've done. People could look at that and go, well, you know, you got a master's degree, you were really successful in the job that you got, you were on a high salary in a position of authority.
But you've seen you haven't seen the sides where I haven't been successful.
This is what I want to touch upon.
And on Instagram, I'm a culprit of that as well. You know, you always usually put up the good stuff. So I go back to my exams. So I went to university. I know there's a big thing in the social media world. Don't go to university. Don't study. Whatnot. Trust me. One of the biggest things I didn't mention earlier is the corporate life that I had and the structure that I learned in going to a really good university.
Oh, so you're a believer and people should go to university.
Not everyone. No. I'm a 70-30. Like, you know, if you want to be an astronaut, you need to go to university. Yeah. If you want to be a doctor, you don't really want your doctor turning up in an operation, not going to university.
You haven't done a YTS scheme in bricklaying.
I was an engineer, so you know, you don't want your plane flying the A380 on Emirates. It's not being built by someone who's gone and studied from the books. So it depends what you want to do. In my opinion and in my experience of what I've seen, and you asked for how I've been successful, it's the basic thing, structuring myself on pressure. So exams are 3 hours long for a maths exam in engineering. Like, that's pressure. Like, at that time, I thought that was the biggest thing, right? If I don't pass this, I'm going to have a work. I'm not going to get a job. I'm not going to have this. Yes, I failed some of them. So you don't see that in my Instagram, right? So I failed some of my exams. I nearly failed my first year at university because we were just out partying. And that's what everyone does at university, you know. But you don't see that. So there are failures. And that means you realize that, you know, failures are not always, you can learn from your failures and grow. And so
I think that's why you coming on podcasts just like this is so important, because I am a massive advocate of sharing the good and the bad. Yeah. The good needs to be shared because you are going to inspire people, or, you know, even if it's just pissing people off, even if what you're putting on social media is making people think, who does he think he is? Which they're undoubtedly going to be, because you live a very luxurious lifestyle, you know, in an Instagram lifestyle. What do you think of those people who are quite often sat at home, you know, living a very unfulfilled life, but throwing negativity at you?
I think people's opinions are people's opinion. It doesn't really affect me anymore. It did. It's an easy thing to say. It doesn't affect you, but every comment that someone writes negatively, it makes you think. Yeah. Because I'm a firm believer also, if you're getting a lot of negative feedback, some of it could be constructive. There's hate, which is what you're talking about. So people have to separate constructive feedback to
I'm talking
negative.
Trolls, haters, people who just hate for the reason.
Yeah, so I actually want them to just watch. And I do usually try to help them and say, look, you know, use that as an advantage. Take it as a positive. I actually don't post as much as some of the people I know about cars and aeroplanes and whatnot. So I just ignore them. I don't even think about it, if I'm honest. So it's not easy.
Well, that's my question. How then does someone get to a point where, because I'm a believer as well, you know, I the figures are totally skewed. I used to say it's 99% that I'm driven by this desire to succeed and one by spite, but it's definitely weighted more in favor. Everyone who tells you can't do it, you shouldn't do it, or who do you think you are? I think you should use that as fuel. But how do you go, you know, where from someone who openly admits, you know, I did used to struggle with it. How do you build up that resilience or that guard?
Again, it goes back to people around you. So I've got a couple of friends who are doing really well. They're big on social media. They've got a big following and they're doing similar things, if not bigger. Before I go on to answer that, one of the biggest things I do is not the people are not, most of my five friends or six friends are not on the same level. 70% of them big higher than me in whatever thing that I'm looking for, either it's wealth or the businesses they have. So I learn more from them.
Right on the coattails.
Yeah. For me, I don't see being in the same group as my level because we're not growing, right? That's how I say. Yes, I have some of them as well, but I have a mixture of some people who are doing better than me and I look up to them whilst they're my friend. So that takes me on to, like, when I do have negative comments, when I do have hate, I can share that. So it's like I can share the same level. Whilst if I went to someone who's never had it, they're going to be like, either
don't do it anymore. Yeah. Why are you doing it? Oh, it's too risky.
Exactly. Or they're probably hating themselves and not saying as much. So yeah, if I'm with someone else who's got hate and they say, this is how I dealt with it, and then I trying to think, okay, yeah, cool. Maybe there's someone else in the same boat. So I can relate. It's relatability, right?
Peers are often mentors then.
Yeah, peers are often your mentors. Yeah. So you got to remember relatability saves a lot of people. So that's what people get into tribes. That's what people get into groups. That's what people form, you know, groups and whether negative groups or positive groups. So if you get yourself in a tribe of people who are thinking or similar things are happening to them, obviously positive, so you were going to save yourself.
You know what? You're absolutely right. You can radiators and drains. I was saying this on a podcast I recorded previously. In life, we all have radiators and drains. And drains are the people who, when they're moaning and you get sucked into that and you can, you know, you're right, it is all shit, the world's falling apart, blah, blah, blah. Or then you have the people who are radiators who are going, yeah, well, we've got this problem, but this is what we're going to do. Here's the solution. They light you up in the room. They fire you up. They get you excited. Yeah. So my question then, because we're seeing continual growth, you know, it's the next big thing moving forward. You've obviously got some huge visions. When is enough enough?
Is never going to be enough, right?
It's never going to be honesty.
It's never going to be enough, but you've got to put some goalposts in. So recently I have put some goalposts in terms of like, you know, my personal life. If I say like the family side, like so my family is just my mother and I have two other brothers. So, you know, spending more time with them and trying to put some goalposts in to do those things, spend probably more time, you know, where it's needed in terms of the family side, because I do enjoy that. But so it's never going to be enough, but I do have written down goals, which I will hit and then reevaluate. I will hit and reevaluate because I do have the freedom already. So yes, it's a great question. Where was when is going to be enough? But my enough is other things now, like having a family, growing a family, and looking after my mom. And you know, she's getting older, so all of that type of stuff. Just buying my mom a house, so stuff like that is part of the personal.
This is such a lovely side to see of it as well, because you will often see, and I think, you know, like attracts like. If you're looking to build that network of people who are levels above you so that you can ride upon their coattails, you want to put that in there. But it's so nice to see this side of you talking about how important your family are. What do mum, and did you say two older brothers?
Younger brothers.
Oh, younger brothers. Yeah. Oh, so you're leading the way as well. Do you feel like there's a little bit of a, because it's just mum and the younger brothers, is there a part of you that's kind of, I've got to be the person who shows them the way?
Yeah, there is. There is. That's probably one of the drivers I actually didn't touch on. So it's like a father figure type of thing. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the pressure. I've always thrived under pressure. I enjoy keeping busy. As I said, people senior mother podcast. So I grew up in a council house or a council state, whatever you want to call it. For people who don't know what a council state is, it's a lower
government funded, lower demographic building.
So, so we haven't been able, my mom hasn't been able to purchase a house whilst I've been in real estate. So I'm purchasing a mom. We're going through legals now at the moment, actually, to buy her a house. So I am looking after the family or supporting my brother, who my youngest brother works in the company. So I tried to create a legacy already before, So my brother's one of the operations manager, doing a great, fantastic job for the last 2 years. He's building the company up. So I have kind of like given back within the family, not forgotten by just living in Dubai or living wherever. So a lot of people don't see that side. I don't talk about it much, but there's a lot of family stuff and personal family growth. I want to have kids, you know, I want to grow. So
that's this about setting the scene now, putting the wheels in motion to have the freedom so that, you know, when you're fortunate enough to build that family up, that it's like, look at what we did.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, there I do. So I'm always going to be hungry. People say, I'll stop. I've worked with a lot of successful people. They say you can't say I'm going to stop at 40 or 30. You never, at least as a man, you're probably not going to stop. So you got to understand how you can manage that and build it into your life whilst having a slight bit of work-life balance that people talk about once you have kids. So I'm looking at that side as well.
So I could sit here and talk to you all day, but I'm super conscious of time because you've got these huge meetings to get to a little bit later on. You've just touched upon legacy. So I want to finish with one final question. You've talked about the fact that you're building a legacy, which is the companies that you build and the wealth, the lifestyle, both for your future family and for your current family. How do you want to be remembered when, God forbid, you leave this mortal world?
For me, it's what I've done for people. So how I made them feel every day. So I like to think I'm quite kind to most people, even if I've had this success. It's how I made them feel and how I made people feel. And in terms of business, well, I want to leave a business that runs for generations and for the kids, and they carry the name. So it's simple as that for me. I don't make it complicated. That's how it is, yeah.
I love it. Absolutely love it. I want to say a huge thank you for sharing your time with us today. For anyone who is interested in what Adam does, wants to follow him on socials, we're going to put all of those into the show notes and into the links. You know, I'm sure there are going to be people who are going, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of the company.
If someone wants to be part of the company, you know, they can apply. They can reach out to me on social media. If someone wants to buy in Dubai, we're the people.
We're the salesmen.
we do everything. So we've got a great team of people. So anyone listening to this, it's a lot of property investors in our network who are moving to Dubai, and they can come through us and we can look after them.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Cheers.